Thank you, Ernie. Nice to see all the smiling faces. We've got a full house today. Well, the Feast of Pentecost, or Feast of Weeks, is a conclusion of seven holy days, seven Sabbaths, since the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And now, if you'll turn to Leviticus 23, just review some of the scriptures about the Feast of Weeks from verse 15 to 22. It describes the Feast of Weeks. It says, "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord." And the offerings that are listed are quite extensive. Seven lambs, two goats, and there's also, in verse 17, "You shall bring from your habitations two wave loaves of two-tenths of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven," as opposed to the unleavened bread that we had during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. These are baked with leaven. That's something to note. They are the first fruits to the Lord. That's us. And I just wanted to mention there how many offerings there are on this day that they offered. And you can read that right down to verse 22 yourself. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17, there's a mention, an interesting point, that I think we all know. And it says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So that's us. So I was thinking, if we look at First Chronicles 29, the offerings for building the temple is listed in that chapter. And we can compare it to ourselves in our building, our temple, before God, which is spiritually, you know. So we increase in knowledge, in grace, and in all the listed items in Galatians that we need to work on, you know, like love and so on. But here, King David said, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great." Now, why did God choose Solomon? Well, back in verse 28, in chapter 28, verse 3, God said to David, "You shall not build a house in my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood." And so he goes on to say that the Lord has given my sons, in verse 5, "He has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne, and he shall build the house." And David's attitude was quite accepting of God's choice or decision. And just as in Psalm 51, he repented of his own sins with Bathsheba, he accepted God's decisions and let God lead him the way he would do. And all of this, right through chapter 29, he's listing all the amounts of gold and silver and precious stones that David prepared for the building of the temple. And we can think of our own spiritual lives that we're building. You know, some might build stubble or that, and some might build gold and silver and precious stones in the quality of our godly character. So that's a good comparison, I think. In verse 6, all the leaders offered willingly, and they gave their work, and whoever had precious stones and treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jilel, Then in verse 9, the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and David also rejoiced. And then he praises God, and this is a very interesting chapter. And down in verses 16 and 17, O Lord our God, all this abundance we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand, and it all is your own. So we don't have anything of ourselves. God has given us everything we have. That's a good point to remember. In verse 17, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here offer willingly to you. So that's the attitude we need to have. Psalm 20, verse 3 states, may he remember, this is talking assurance of God's saving work, and may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble, etc. And in verse 3, may he, that is God, remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. So we can rely on God to accept our offerings. We've all prepared our offerings ahead of time and placed them in this basket, which I like that idea that we do in CGI. When I was going, before I was married to my first wife, we went to the odd time to usually a midnight mass at a Catholic church, and they have this great big long pole with a basket sort of on the end, and they can shove it in everybody's face along the line now. We don't do that here. I like it just that we don't even pass a basket around it. It's up to everybody to do their own thing, and I think that's a very nice custom we have. So during the year, from season to season, we accumulate our offerings, just like we do the first and second tithe. And so we do not come before the Lord, the Eternal, empty, as he admonishes in Deuteronomy 16, which we'll turn over there. Because besides the usual thing, and we'll read it into the record, verse 16, three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear empty before the Lord. Verse 10 describes the Feast of Weeks in review. Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with a tribute of a freewill offering in your hand. So that's what this is, of our own free will, which you shall give as the Lord God blesses you. So as we are blessed, God expects us to do that, to offer something. And in verse 11, it says, you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, etc., everyone in your home. So that's the point of this feast, brethren, is to rejoice and give thanks to God. Now, let's all rejoice in the Feast of Pentecost, and I'll ask the blessing on the offering, if you'll all bow your heads. Our Holy Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom all authority has been given in heaven and on earth, we come before you, most holy, your most holy throne, and ask that you accept our free will offering and bless us with the spiritual growth in each of our godly temples in which your Holy Spirit dwells. We thank you for your gracious calling, your mercy, and your light as we continue our walk with you. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, we pray. Amen.